Hello.
Hi. Welcome. We've been looking at and admiring your book and salivating, frankly.
That is wonderful news. Thank you.
We also both want to know all about raw artichokes. Neither Ellen and I had ever heard of such a thing, and you said you hadn't either until fairly recently.
Yes, great. Should I tell you about that now?
Why don't you? Just for a start.
Well, I have been cooking professionally and for myself for a long time, you know, just for first from a personal love and then getting into restaurants and working my way up through the restaurant kitchen in the Boston area, actually. And then I transitioned into the publishing world with jobs at Saveur magazine and freelance work at Food & Wine and Martha Stewart Living, and I have been the food editor at La Cucina Italiana magazine for the past 5 years, during which time we were working with a wonderful chef named Matteo Boglione, and one day we were doing a story with him about farro, actually, and he prepared a delicious salad that, if I'm remembering it, all the details on that one correctly, it was farro with shaved raw baby artichokes and pecorino cheese, and it was so delicious, and olive oil and a little dash of really nice sea salt. And I had never eaten an artichoke raw before, and it was, you know, something really new and exciting for me, and so I ended up using it in one of my recipes in my book with radicchio and white anchovies, which are also known as bocarones in Spain. And they have their own version of them or their own name for them in Italy, too. And they're just, so using raw artichokes is just lovely. It's really helpful if you can just you know, you prepare them as you would when you're cooking them by picking back the kind of woody outer leaves before you get down into the nicer part, the more edible part inside. And if there's a choke, sometimes there's a choke in baby artichokes that are not really baby artichokes, they're just small artichokes, so you might have to scoop that out. And then you just take a good knife and really, really thinly slice them, or you can use it an adjustable blade slicer. I just call that a Japanese mandolin, the kind of inexpensive one that you can buy for about $40, which is one of my favorite tools for salads. I use it all over the place. And you just thinly slice the artichoke, and they're wonderful. They taste really delicious.
So you're thinly slicing the leaves and the kind of base under the choke.
Yes, exactly. It comes out like a cross section.
And do they taste at all like cooked artichokes?
No, I think they're a little, well, they still have, you know, the essence of artichokes. This sort of like the way a raw carrot and a cooked carrot is both, it's a carrot both ways, but it's kind of a little bit different. You know, when you cook something, you just get a different sort of flavor profile out of it. Different things come to the forefront. So you still have that kind of grassy, earthy quality to the artichoke. It's more fresh tasting when it is not cooked, if that makes sense.
Now, you mentioned this Japanese mandolin. You have a page about various equipment which one ought to have in the kitchen to make good salads.
Right, and the Japanese mandolin, I don't know if that's intimidating sounding to people if they don't know what it is, but just in case any of the listeners don't know what that is, it's also called an adjustable blade slicer, and it's like a mandolin that you would see, you know, in like Williams-Sonoma, where they would have, you know, a stainless steel version that are very expensive. I don't care for those. I like the Japanese mandolins. They're just lighter and they're much less expensive. The one I like is about $40, and it's by a company called Benrinner, and you can find them widely on the internet and in good and in kitchen stores and in Chinatown. They have any kind of houseware store would have them. And the thing that's so great about these tools is that when you are, they're wonderful for vegetables. I use them mostly for vegetables, and they help you slice anything, any vegetable, like paper thin, and you can also julienne with them, which is like slicing something into little sticks, mm-hmm. like matchsticks. And so, for example, in the fall and winter, I love to make delicious salads out of Brussels sprouts using raw Brussels sprouts. And I also make one with celery root. And I use the Japanese mandolin for both of those things. I shred the celery root on the Japanese mandolin, and it just takes 2 seconds to do. And, it's something that's just really tough to do and tedious to do with a knife, even if you have a really good sharp knife. Mm-hmm. And I also find that I love radishes, but I really like them very paper thin because just they have the great flavor that I love from the radish, but they're just a little less less harsh in the mouth than, you know, if you slice the radish thicker. So it's interesting, you know, how you can get a delicate flavor out of something if you slice it thinner. Like even carrots are wonderful. You can slice them into very paper-thin ribbons with the Japanese mandolin. And I do it with celery, too. In fact, I have a lovely celery salad in the book that you take the celery and you can shave it into ribbons with using the Japanese mandolin, and then you soak it in ice water for a bit, and it makes these gorgeous ribbons. And it's just really, it looks so gorgeous and beautiful, and you can't really, there's no way to do that with a knife. I've even tried it with a vegetable peeler, and I've just found that to be challenging. So it's definitely not a requirement to have one of these in your kitchen, but it sure is fun, and you can make all sorts of things with it. So it's one of my tools that I just reach for all the time and you know, really get a lot of use out of it.
By now, I think our listeners know we're not talking about a musical instrument. We're talking about making beautiful salads. And I'm not sure that I mentioned that Mindy has written a book called Salads Beyond the Bowl. And that's what we're here talking about, because you are going to be at the farmer's market on Saturday, right, here in Hudson?
I am. I'm going to be at the Hudson Market. I'm very excited. I hear you have a corn festival going on. And I'm going to be signing books from about 10:30 to 12:30. In the morning, and the books are beautiful. This book came out so beautiful. I'm just going to give props to my photographer. Her name is Ellen Silverman. She just did such a beautiful job with this. So it's a vibrant-looking book, and it is useful for all year round. So if anybody out there has loved ones who are salad fanatics like I am, this book makes a super wonderful gift. It's just that sort of look.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so I'm hoping people might even start crossing, you know, Christmas gifts or holiday gifts off their list this weekend. But I'll be really excited to talk to people about what kind of salads they like to, you know, prepare and hearing about what people are excited about making as we move into, you know, the bounty of the season here in the Northeast, with all the great vegetables that are to come and fruits in the next, you know, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
What are you using right now in your salads?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been talking about, one thing I talk about, the first chapter of my book is called Elemental Salads, which is something that I just came up with based on the fact that, you know, many times after a long work day, I don't have a lot of time to think about shopping for ingredients or putting together elaborate recipes, and I often find that I can surprise even myself by making simple things just by sort of shopping in my own fridge, kind of like shopping in your own closet when you feel like you have nothing to wear, and then you figure out that there's something in there that you can put together, even if you were sure that you couldn't. And so, just for example, today, I felt like I had nothing in my fridge, and I went to the fridge and I found some roasted beets that I had roasted a few days ago. And then I cut them into cubes, and there were a few stray olives in there, so I threw those in. And then I noticed my little basil plant on the counter, so I took some leaves and tore that into it. And then I drizzled some really good olive oil and sprinkled some nice sea salt on there. And right as I was just going to sit down, I saw some toasted walnuts that I had also made and hadn't used all of them just the other day. And or you could use raw walnuts or any nut, and I chopped that and threw it over the top. So in just about 2 minutes, I made a salad that was actually worthy. It was. Oh, I forgot one important part. I had some Asiago cheese, and I thinly shaved that and threw that in, and it was a salad worthy of putting in the book. Actually, it really was so good. And you know, if you had some scallions, it would be nice to slice a little of that. And I was also thinking while I was eating it, if I was more hungry for a more complete meal, I would open a can of that good Italian tuna or some canned sardines and get my omega-3s in there, and mm-hmm. It just would be a really complete, filling, satisfying meal. So I'm already adding that salad to my, you know, repertoire of recipes.
And what led you to do a whole book about salads?
Well, I am seriously fanatical about salads. I just love salads, and I pretty much eat salad every day. It's not a sort of dietary regimen that I'm pursuing. It's just I really love the vibrant, sort of alive taste of fresh salads, and I eat salads all year round. Which is why I just did want to remind people that this book has salads for all year round, because salads are such a great part of winter and fall, you know, kind of cold weather eating. We normally think of them as warm weather eating, and they are great in the warm weather. But they also, you know, when you're eating things that are heavier, like we do in the Northeast because it's so cold here, you know, when you're doing your stews and your braises, it's so nice to have a salad that kind of counteracts the richness of that stuff just on your palate when you're putting together a meal. It's nice to have, you know, the texture and the vibrancy of a little bit of acidic elements from a salad dressing. And, you know, I really eat salad every day. It's almost, I'm like the salad gal. It's just, and I know other people are out like that too. You know, it's a great dish, and it's healthy, and it's good for you, and it makes you feel good, and I could go on. I could go on, but people start thinking I'm like the crazy salad now, but I really do love salad.
Well, you also make them aesthetically appealing, the colors and the appearance.
Does the book have any special chapter on salad dressings, or are you talking about the dressing within the context of the recipe, I suppose?
Yeah, I do. You know, I thought about breaking out the dressings or even listing the dressings in the book, but we didn't end up doing that. The dressings are scattered throughout, you know, different dressings in the context of each salad.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple interesting things about dressings, I think, are, you know, my sort of go-to when I'm doing these, like throwing together these salads in the evening. And I will say about that beet salad, I did not use an acid element in that salad, the one I had for lunch today. I just used really nice olive oil, and that was my dressing. And that's something I've learned from being the food editor at La Cucina Italiana for the last 5 years, that sort of getting to know their recipes and what happens in Italy with simple dishes of vegetables is that often they do just use really good olive oil mm-hmm. and salt as their dressing, and that can be really nice, and it's a nice thing to sort of keep in mind. But my usual sort of nightly, I'm throwing something together kind of salad, I usually don't make a complicated dressing. You don't have to. I definitely be sure to keep some good vinegars on hand, and my go-tos are red wine and vinegar, white wine vinegar, kind of nice ones that, you know, you might find in, like, you know, I know where you guys, there's Rubiner's, and there's all sorts of great stores in your area that have some nicer, interesting vinegars, and I also love a good sherry vinegar. And I also rely on lemons a lot, and I'm sure to use the zest and the juice of lemons, and that's just kind of a nice thing to remember. But I do have some really interesting dressings. I'm a big fan of honey, and one of my salads has a chestnut honey vinaigrette. And that's really interesting. If people don't know, if they're not familiar with chestnut honey, it's a really unique honey. It's a little bit bitter, but in a nice way, and it works really well in salad dressings or on craggy, buttery toast in the morning. And, you know, there are all sorts of different things that I turn to make some of the more involved dressings in the book, but a lot of the salads are just dressed with maybe the juice of the blood oranges that I'm using, or grapefruit in some cases, or a mix of lemon juice, or a mix of orange juice and red wine vinegar, and then your oil element, which is a really nice kind of three-way combo with your acid and oil element. So there's so many different, you know, things you can do.
Do you use balsamic vinegar?
I do. I don't, you know, I don't turn to balsamic vinegar a ton, but one thing that I really love to do with balsamic vinegar, and it's, I did this with one of the dressings in my salads, in, it's a salad of roasted parsnips, toasted hazelnuts, and the little microgreen called mosh, which could be substituted by baby arugula or watercress if you can't find it in your store, or even torn radicchio leaves. I took balsamic vinegar for that salad and just gently cooked it down in a small saucepan on the stove over low heat until it reduced to become kind of more concentrated and a little bit syrupy,
mm-hmm.
and then mix that with some olive oil and salt and pepper, and it makes a really nice, it sort of tones down the acidic quality of the vinegar and brings forth the sweetness, and it's just a really beautiful thing to do and easy, and it's kind of like one of those chef tricks that's fun to know about and employ once you get, once you try it once. And the only thing you have to consider is just to use really low heat and keep an eye on it, because you don't want to boil the vinegar or burn it. But it's really easy to do.
Well, thank you so much, Mindy, for calling in. We look forward to seeing you at the Farmer's Market on Saturday here in Hudson, sometime between 10:30 and 12:30.
Thank you so much for having me. I have really enjoyed talking to you guys, and I really look forward to seeing everyone, and I can't wait to check it all, the veggies and fruits in your market.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chop down.